This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing.
Well, I read from Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21, page 922 in your pew Bibles. There's going to be an acting out of the scripture in the background on the walls and the screen. Listen for the word of God written and shown. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What are we watching? What we're watching here on the wall and the back monitor is security footage at a McDonald's in San Diego. The man that you see there is Jeremy Henwood. He's an officer with the San Diego Police Department. He's also a veteran of both Afghanistan and Iraq, tour in Iraq, two tours in Afghanistan, an officer at the San Diego Police Department. What we are watching are the last moments of his life. Just minutes after this video was taken, he was ambushed, sitting in his patrol car with a shotgun. He was shot and later died of his wounds. What we're seeing here are the very last moments, his last interactions with the person, the last person he talked to before he died, Officer Jeremy Henwood. If you look, he's interacting with the boy next to him. It seems the boy came up and asked him for 10 cents, a dime. What would you do? What if your last moments were on videotape? What would they reveal? I don't know. You'd like to think that they would reveal something heroic, something grand, that you gave your life for a wonderful purpose, and saving another life, or something of great applause, or you just finished a great accomplishment in your life, and that you just went on stage, or... What if it was just boring, just running a meal, you're sitting in church listening to a sermon, or you're watching TV, you're wasting time, or doing something else, doing a crossword or something, just waiting in the car, or your last moments? Well, it wouldn't be as good, but it wouldn't be bad as if your last moment was cruelty, thoughtless, put down, or a snub, maybe cutting line somewhere, maybe cutting someone off in traffic, maybe doing something that you wouldn't want to be remembered for. Maybe saying no to a child that wanted some cookies. You know, someday, soon, and some people say it's already here, every moment of our life is going to be recorded and replayed by ourselves or by corporations or by the government or by Facebook. They know where we all are now. What is that going to change in the world? Will it change anything in the world? And what do we want to be remembered for? If we knew that this video of what we're doing right now is going to be played on the news and the people we're talking to right now is going to be interviewed and saying, well, how was he? What was his last moments like? What would it be like? Would it be something shameful? Would you be caught eating a meal fit for three people? Would you be caught with a heated exchange or an angry word? Would you be caught walking by somebody in need? What would you be remembered for? What would be your last thing that people thought of? Would it be of kindness to a stranger? Hospitality is one of the key issues in Romans that we see here today. And hospitality isn't just being a doormat. It is welcoming people, and not only that, but welcoming God. See, the part of a thread in Romans is that when we take vengeance on others, when we do justice, when we try to balance the scales, we're not only pushing out other people, but we're pushing out God. It says make space, leave room for God. That means leave things of God to God. God will take care of it. God will balance it out. God is in charge of justice. God's in charge of the world and the way things work. We are not, I am not, you are not. It's not up to us to get everything even, Stephen, again. What it is up to us is to be welcoming to all people, to God's people, to be kind to others. Even people that ask us for a dime, and we thought, well, you could go earn it. We had a funeral here at the church, and it was during the bad year. I don't know if you remember the bad year in snow, where we just, for the love of God, we could not get the parking lot plowed of snow. I don't know, it was some kind of curse or something. But that was one of the days where the snow was in the parking lot, and that funeral director went home, changed clothes, got his plow, came back out here, plowed our parking lot. Well, and get us ready for that. Now that's hospitality. And I was a little embarrassed, and I said, let's go ahead and pay him for that. Pay him the same rate we paid other people to plow. So he's in business, he did that. And I sent him the check, you know, he was kind of upset with me. He said, you know, you sent me a check. I'm not going to ever cash that, you know. I'm not going to do that. Hospitality. You know, funeral homes, I think, is something that says something about our society in general and our churches, practically in particular. I mean, traditionally, for thousands of years, funerals were held at people's homes and in churches. What is it about society that we outsource that hospitality to another building, another industry, another place? What does that say about us? And now we are learning hospitality from funeral homes when we started the whole thing. It is in our DNA. It is in our foundation. It is who we are to be hospitable because that's how we got in. Somebody welcomed us into the place, and we need to remember that and to welcome others. This is God's house. We are all guests in God's house. We are all benefits of the hospitality purchased so costly for us by Jesus Christ. And what we tell other folks is saying, hey, there's good guest relations here. There's a good place to be a guest. I know because they took me in. So I know they'll take you in.
hard to do. It's hard to do. It's hard to be welcome and opening to people. Now, when we're all one part of one great community, and Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church was Goodyear Heights, Goodyear Tire and Rubber at worship on Sunday morning, and everybody did the same thing and during the week, and then on Sunday we're all together in this, and we all knew what we were, where we are and who we are and what we are, that was a little bit easier. It's hard now. When our downspouts are stolen for scrap metal, when our walls are used for canvas for graffiti, when our worship equipment is stolen and sold by gangs, when demolition derby practices in our parking lot, it's hard to be hospitable. It's difficult. And we've lost that. Not just funerals, weddings are now in Vegas or a destination or a reception hall. And church, if anything, is an afterthought. If we are to survive, if we are to be relevant, if we are to be anything that is anything worth of support in the community, in the future, in the decades to come, we have to rediscover hospitality. And it's not going to be as easy as the first time. Because there's a lot of different people out there to be hospitable to. And if you read Romans carefully, you will see that it wasn't much different for them. They were in an alien environment. They were the Romans. They were in Rome. They were with Caesars and pagans and worshiping of the king and the Pope. Well, maybe it wasn't very much different. But they were in a place where they just had to get along. They were minority. Everybody was worshiping power. Everybody was worshiping money. Everybody was worshiping violence. Everybody was worshiping the political system. That was what they did. And the church had nothing to do with that. And they said, as far as possible, be peaceable with everybody. Laugh with those laugh. We would get along with people. Honor one. Welcome them into others. If someone's against you, help them out because they'll repent, maybe. You got a better chance of them repenting if you're kind to them and feed them and they're hungry than if you are evil to them. An eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind, as Gandhi told us. And we do that. We know how to do that. We also know how to be evil and angry. I know I am. I wasn't the only one, but maybe the first to think about electrifying our last remaining copper downspout. I was trying to figure out how we could explain that as part of our worship practice. Oh yeah, we always electrify copper downspouts as part of our core beliefs. Did someone get hurt by that? Oh well, that's, oops. It's so natural to repay evil for evil. That's why we got to be told not to do it. If we did it naturally, if we did it without thinking, we wouldn't need scripture to tell us not to do it. And says, don't repay evil for evil. It's easy to do. It's the first thing you think about. It's what you jump in, but don't do that. Leave it to God. You know, when you take over, or when I take over God's spot, he goes, I'm going to make it right. That's one, it's a little bit blasphemous because I'm putting myself in the place of God. That's blasphemy. When you put yourself in blood, I'm going to vengeance. I'm going to execute judgment. I'm going to be judge, jury, and execution. You executioner. There's that, and that's bad enough. But also, if you push it a little bit and you look at that word in there, beloved, right in the middle. If you do those things, not only are you taking God's place, but you're saying, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about us. God doesn't love us. God doesn't want good things. I am abandoned. I am orphaned. I am powerless. I have no one to protect me. I got to do it myself. And that is worse than even the violence and the evil that we do, is when we reject the love of God and say that I have to do it all by myself because no one else will. What a damnable thing to say. To reject God's power and working and out God's purposes in the world, and to reject God's love. How much better to say, I am loved. God is loving. I am loved. And I pass on that love, not reject it, and pass on evil. You know, we've done that, and we've seen it done. For those of you who can remember Goodyear Heights, Goodyear Tire and Rubber, we're all relinked. Remember all the stuff they did, the theater program, the Foreman's Club, the 25-year club, the singers, the Goodyear singers, the fights down at the armory, the great Christmas parties, and all this stuff. We know how to do this. It's in our history. It's in what we know and grew up with and what we believe in, where this church was founded and where it started. And it's not just Goodyear Tire and Rubber. It's also Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church. We got together, and you talk about hospitality. What is more welcoming to a home than actually building a home? We were part of the people that built a home for Habitat for Humanity, home after home. It's who we are. It's what we do. We just got to remember that's what we're doing. It's hard when things are tough, when things are bad, to remember who we are and to remember God's love, to remember that we're beloved, and remember what we're supposed to be doing, because it's so easy to be evil. We've done that before. We did Friday Night Chaos for the youth that we weren't really fond of, who weren't really fond of us, but we gave it a good shot and gave it a good run and a good try. And we were welcoming to people that are different. Spiral Class did that. Friendship Class still does. They have their own mission and their worship and their service and their activities. Remember the silent class? The folks that Goodyear had here that could not hear, that were deaf? We welcomed them. They were a part of us. They were different. They didn't even speak like us or with us so much, but they made us. They were a part of us. They came and we had signed so that they could be included in our stuff. Because why? We are hospitable. We are welcoming. It's who we are. It's what we are made up of. We do it now. You just heard the announcement about the community dinner, the free community dinner. And you may think, oh, well, yeah, there's that. It's going. Well, what about Kairos is coming here again? And we're opening our doors to that. Session just passed a change in the building use policy saying if a member will stand up and say, I vouch for these people, any community group can come and to use our church as long as a member takes responsibility. We want to be hospitable. We want to be a destination for people that are doing good among people. They want them to think Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church is the place. We've got the quilters here that are come and say welcome. All are welcome here. Some of the pitchers were from quilting. We got the Goodyear Heights players that are on again, off again, and I hope they are on again. Middle school principal knows that Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church is a place where she can recommend kids that are on the edge, and they will be loved and welcome. That's huge, and that's what we should be known for. We've got good neighbors. We love to have them there. We feed the hungry by being hospitable to them. We are so great at hospitality. We are so secure in where we are as a congregation that we even let another church use part of our building. How great is that? How many people have been to one of their services? It is far from Presbyterian. I know there's two people here that stayed through the entire sermon from Ron Bergen's last sermon here. Remember that one? That's hospitality. Yeah, you guys stayed through all that sermon and you said, you know, this isn't the 15-minute Christie thing, but we're going to stay it on. You guys did a good job. That's who we are. It'd be great if we said, you know, even Cora, Color Our Rainbow, we pray for them every week. We work with them. Jane goes up and reads with them during the school year. We give them shirts. We do some, at least one program a year, and I hope more with them. We might be getting into even more stuff with them. That's hospitality. They wrecked the place. They go through in 1 week, or in 2 weeks, they use our Sunday school building as much as we used it all year, doing Sunday school once a week for 9 months. And we grit our teeth and bear it and try to smile through it. Because that's who we are. And I'm telling you, if we want to keep going, if we want to go on, we got to be even better than that. We got to do more of what we do best. And what we do best is welcome other people and restore them to community and to faith. Dr. Chuck in Auburn is a perfect example. People that are used to be in the church, rejected the church, wanted nothing to do with the church, fell away from anything close to spirituality, is now preaching and teaching and living the forgiving word of Jesus Christ. That's what this congregation does. You got a need, you got a place, we'll come up with the money, we'll figure it out, we'll get it done. We can focus on survival and eking out. But I want you to go back to Jeremy Henwood. His last moments. Now, he didn't know it was his last moments, but he could have thought that. He could have thought any moment I could die. Every moment I might need this money. Any moment, if I give it to him now, he's going to come back and ask for more later. Who knows what he's spending this money on? Who knows if he should have that cookie? He should be eating something healthy or fruit. Maybe I'll buy him an apple. I don't want him to do anything with it. He could have listened to all the things that run in our head. He could have just bought him a cookie and said, okay, kid, go away. You know, you're bothering me. But he said, what do you want to be when you grow up? You want to be an NBA star? And he could have said, there's no way you're going to be an NBA star. But he said, you know, you're going to have to work hard. If we're going to go and get blown away by a shotgun, as a church, if we're going to die, I want the news reports to be about how kind Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church is and what a legacy that they left behind, that even with their last breath, they were helping others. And I want to hear those people on the TV saying, yeah, those Presbyterians, they're gone. But because of them, I'm going to work hard and do right. Hospitality, overcoming evil with good. It's what we did, it's what we do, and it's what we are called to do in the future. Let us be welcoming. Let us leave room for God and welcome others as we have been welcomed.